Hello, welcome to the Football Podcast, show number 66, guys.
Show number 66.
We mentioned last week that there might not be intro music. There's probably not intro music again. Siren Head is slowly, gradually weaning me onto the ways of the podcast. I can now do the site, that's all right.
Good.
But I think putting the music on at the moment might be a little step
bit
too
challenging.
Yeah,
bit
my
challenging.
Head will probably explode, something like that. My head rather than our heads. One quick thing as well. You mentioned the possibility of sparklers.
No.
Of course, I mean,
sparklers.
Yeah.
No way.
We're not going to do it today because today we've got Dan Silvers with us.
Good afternoon.
We've got Jerome Mundell.
Good afternoon.
New boy, hanging tough. Stuart Hall's with us as well.
Afternoon.
We're missing Sean Miller still on holiday and we're missing Mike Coxon. I want them to be there for the sparklers moment.
Yeah, that's
fantastic.
So I'm going to put those literally back in my back pocket. I'm going to keep them there. Next week I'll bust out. You can pretend like you didn't even know
what
was happening.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll listen to the show actually. Sean might. Sean, if you are listening, don't tell Mike. Anyway.
And we probably might have to have a word with Henry's because we might get chucked out for a fire hazard.
Look,
I know they say indoor, but they might still
get
the needle.
We come here every week.
I'm sure if it all went off their insurance, we'd probably say don't like fireworks indoor.
Yeah, to be fair. As they're dragging us out, they're indoor sparklers. But the reason we were celebrating the new era. Last week was the end of Simon Head. This is the new era.
It is.
Let's kick it off. Standout performance from the last show. Since the last show, Stuart Hoare, who you can have a team or a player.
I've gone for player. Fraser Campbell.
That's not a bad shout at all.
That's not a bad shout at all.
Is it 18 months out?
Yeah. 18 months. He's not done bad, is he? 2-2 now after 18 months.
Did you see his goal? Was it last night or Tuesday night?
Last night.
Absolutely. And if you listen to the audio, the Sunderland fans actually shout "shoot" just as he gets you. You know, sometimes they do that for players that are crap.
Yeah.
Like
when they're 60 yards out.
Yeah. Like for QPR, it's the grey hair guy. What's his name?
Derry.
Sean Derry. Yeah. When he gets that, like, oh, let's shout "shoot." Invariably, they pop one in from 50 yards, and everyone's like, "There you go." Crowd McAlay used to have it for Chelsea as well.
Yeah, they scored an absolute scream against Spurs.
Exactly. Did he really?
Yeah, I thought he scored one decent goal his whole career, absolute screamer.
If you're going to pick it against Spurs for that lot. Yeah, it's a great goal. So yeah, that is a very good shout. Also, did you see that during his injury layoff, he used to go in disguise?
In disguise, yeah.
To watch Sunderland games.
Fair play to him.
Yeah, the amount of times he'd sit in the crowd in disguise. He didn't go elaborate into what the disguise was.
No, he did. It was just like a big jacket and a hat. I was like, I wanted him dressed up as Hitler, watching a game or something like that. Jimmy Mallet.
That's
quality. So he used to go and watch, and he said it didn't really work because straight away they'd recognise him anyway. But he could be a great player for them as well. Because I mean,
I liked him at Spurs.
I liked him at Spurs.
I forgot he was at Spurs. Yeah, he was a good young little player. You know, got a few goals. He looks.
We'll get on to Spurs and forwards in a minute. Dan, performance of the since our last show.
Well, I think I've got two really. One would be Everton.
Yep.
Ridiculous result, really, and blowing the title away.
It's funny how one result seems to
it's massive, isn't it?
Say they hadn't signed anyone and they lost at home to Man City on Tuesday night.
Everyone's raving about how good a transfer window Everton had. And the other one?
Well, they've signed someone, which is good for them in the first instance. But yeah, the Jelovic, is it? I don't know.
Jelovic, he's supposed to be a bargain.
Pienaar back on loan is good. Yeah. But that Drenthe on the wing.
He's quality.
He looks like a decent
should
player.
Should have been sent off.
He should have been,
That was a naughty sack.
Really bad chance. From Real Madrid. Or is it
He's rapid, though, isn't he? He's dangerous.
I didn't like him when he was at Real Madrid.
Yeah, playing left back.
He's dangerous because he can't tackle.
No, he can't.
But I mean, to pull off the result they did, they got a few players out missing as well, like Fellaini and the centre backs.
No, Fellaini was playing. No Osman.
He just had a bad game. I watched it and didn't notice.
No Osman, no Jadielka.
They played Hibbert at centre back, which is pretty amazing. He's a really bad right back. He played centre back.
Did you see the slides when there was.
He's not a bad right, he's a very consistent right back. But he had one bad game and it happened to be an FA Cup final. Unfortunately for him, got pulled off at half time, so to speak.
Did you see Heitinger standing against Dzeko? Obviously, Heitinger's actually taller than
Dzeko.
No, what's his face?
Fellaini?
No, the other one. Hibbert. Heitinger's taller than Hibbert, and he was about a foot shorter than Dzeko.
Dzeko,
so they've done a pretty good job at centre, but centre back marking those two.
Man City, they've got a game at home this week. I can't remember who it is, but they should win it. and Chelsea are playing Man United at home. So
and it's Spurs a, Liverpool Monday night.
Yeah, it's a big weekend for them.
Great
yeah.
weekend.
Monday night football. There's been some really good games this season so far for Monday night football. Do you know what it is next Monday night?
I'm looking forward to
not
it,
this
Jim.
Monday night.
Not this Monday night. It's Spurs. Liverpool.
Been, there has been. This is completely out of the draw.
And
right?
then Monday night football on the 13th.
Let me guess, Gillingham.
Gillingham at home to Southend.
Interesting.
Is there any previous between those two? Why those two teams?
They played each other last season. That's the only previous. No idea. Okay, so Everton's one.
The other one, Brighton. Tipped it.
Yeah, to be fair. To be fair.
Newcastle.
But Newcastle have bounced straight back with a decent result. I know it's Blackburn, but... Yeah,
but, I mean, Brighton, you know, my old man was at the game. He's his season ticket holder at Brighton now at the new stadium. He said it was absolutely magnificent.
Yeah.
The atmosphere stayed for a few days.
Start of the season, they were flying, literally flying, and they caught off a bit, and now they're getting back. They're not that far off the playoffs at the moment.
They've got
a draw at Palace as well in the week, 1-1.
Yeah.
Just not a bad result.
As long as
they hate each other as well.
They do hate each other.
Well, as long as Brighton stay in the mix, even mid table, I think would be a good result for them first year.
Yeah. The worry is for them, I think Poirier, even though he's building something really nice there, he could well, if the right
temptation
job comes
there,
in,
isn't it, if the right job comes along.
And then it'll be who comes in to sort of supplement that. But
Warnock.
Did you see the last goal was scored by Obertan for Newcastle?
No, I didn't see
they,
it.
They won 2-0, and Obertan and Andy Carroll scored on the same round of Premier League games, which is pretty spectacular.
There was loads of abuse. I think it was Dan Walker was getting loads of abuse at the BBC on Twitter because everyone was whinging there was no match of the day.
Yeah.
And he actually came out and said, "Look, I know it's really annoying, but we're only contracted to one midweek match of the day.
Should do it on the Wednesday.
On the Wednesday after all the games.
Well, this is it. But this is the question. If they can only do an hour and a half or an hour show, then." They're going to do it on the night where Spurs, Liverpool and Man City are all playing.
Yeah, for them I can sort of see commercial sense.
Was just Arsenal and a few others.
But then again, they're not attracting they're not attracting advertisers. There's no ad breaks in there.
Sorry, mate.
What's happened there?
No, I said it was advertisers on Wednesday night and on
PPR.
Yeah.
We'll get onto that in a minute. Jake? Performance, is it a team or a player?
It's a team and it's Crawley Town in the FA Cup against Hull.
Fucking hate Crawley Town. I really hate
them. Too much money for their own goods.
His skin's just crawled. But they've lost Matt Tubbs, haven't they?
They've lost Matt Tubbs, which on paper looks like a strange one because he's gone to Bournemouth for a lot of money. But Bournemouth have got investors and Matt Tubbs is a lifelong Bournemouth fan.
Right.
He's actually played there, I think, twice before. I think he started there, then they were loaned back. And he's not done that much. So it's a big move for him in terms of if he can push on and do it.
Yeah.
But there would have been suitors higher in that league and probably Championship as well, and Crawley are having they've signed Billy Clark and they tried to sign a couple of other players but they keep getting rejected at the moment. But they have got some money, but they now their owners are starting to say that they need to get their attendances back up because they can't finance it for this long and they're a small club.
I'll tell you what, it would have been absolutely tasty as you like if Brighton had drawn Crawley in the FA Cup. That would have been an absolute, although it's been dangerous.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it'd be dangerous. They've got about two fans, Crawley, so they haven't got anyone there. The only thing dangerous about their club is the manager, who's just a fat toad. Right, moving on. Did you finish on Crawley or?
Yeah, that's Crawley. Yeah.
He is a fat toad. He's a horrible man. Most people will know, but if you don't, Google him, look him up, or just look at a picture of him. No, it's not the fact he's not good looking. He's a scumbag. My performance is, I don't like Swindon at all, but Swindon went away to Southend on Tuesday night. Southend were above them in the league, and they did them 4-1. And hats off to that. That is a great performance. They're now third in the league, and they're doing really well.
Sorry, throwing one more in the hat, just thinking about that. Ipswich beating
another
West Ham
5-1.
And Ipswich couldn't hit a cow's arse with a banjo. And West Ham flying, that is a ridiculous result.
Mixed emotions on Tuesday. There's a West Ham fan, I would have thought, because they got absolutely dicked, but they brought some really good players in. Some really good players. Which, actually, let's bring it on. Best and worst signings of the transfer window. It wasn't that great, was it? Let's be honest.
A lot of
people are saying, talking about the money between last year and this year. The fact is, last year Torres went.
Carroll.
And then the money filters down because the Torres money goes, and then with that money
they brought Carroll
and then it filters down. So there was no big money move. I think QPR were the biggest spenders.
Chelsea were the second, but the biggest spenders on the day, weren't they?
A lot of stuff happened, but it was mainly loans and lower signings. There was no massive signing, but there was a lot of activity.
It's like Fergie said, there's no value in the January transfer. That's why a lot of them are loan signings. Yeah. So, go on, throw them out. Has anyone got like a particularly best or worst signings put out.
We needed a strike force. The C-Sands more, I think, would do a job for us. They'll keep us up. They're 30 and 31 respectively, but they will keep us up.
QPR did alright.
Temporary job, yeah, they did. Yeah.
2.5 year deal.
And with so the Man City guy as well. Did you see Micah Richards tweeted saying that Onora is it?
Yes,
he said good luck to him. Phenomenal defender, one of the most underrated in the Premier League, something like that.
Good.
I know he's his mate, but he wouldn't have said that if there wasn't a little.
He looked after these
two. You're right. You've got like a weird graze on your forehead. Not where's that from?
You've intentional, Jim.
Been touching.
Was that from hanging out with Tony One Leg and the Rhino?
We'll move on. Don't like hold your horses. We'll get on to those boys in a bit. So you're quite happy then, see Sands and Moira?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, and who did you offload?
Because there was a Rowlands on a free.
Cut your
Bradley Orr to Blackburn. That's that is straight.
That's my worst signing. Bradley Orr to Blackburn. He's like treacle.
That is straight.
Yeah, and they need a bit of pace at the back, and they've signed Bradley Orr, which is interesting. Best signing potentially could be the Morrison kid to West Ham.
Yeah,
it's a very very strange.
Well,
one,
isn't he supposed to be on like $80,000 a week?
I don't think it could be that much. But
no, it's something ridiculous. Like, they're supposed to be reported on.
So maybe with appearance fees, it wouldn't be $80,000 flat, would it?
I was chatting to someone the other day and they were like, oh well, Fergie must just not rate him. It's not the case at all. Fergie has offered him a new contract. It's not the terms he wants.
Best place for him's out of Manchester.
It's basically a big time Charlie, but you've also got to remember that Sam Allardyce and Fergie are my best mates.
There'd be a clause in there to say that.
I think if there's a re-sign clause, isn't
there? Did you see about the behaviour clause?
No,
they've basically signed it into it because he's a bit of a Roman. They've written it into the contract.
Bit of a Roman. That'll be on Wikipedia. Yeah. Bit of a Roman. Well,
they've signed in to the contract a behavioural clause that if he misbehaves,
he's off.
He's off, or he's going to get cut money.
Because
he's such a naughty boy.
He is a naughty boy.
He is a naughty boy.
But apparently he's a very good player, and if Fergie wanted to keep him on, then he must have been. But
exactly.
Allardyce would have obviously talked to his manager and said, look, is he worth taking a gamble? And he obviously is. But they've made some good signings because they've signed Vastay as well. Who's nicking him in? Maynard.
Did they get Vastay?
Yeah, Vastay and Maynard.
Been on fire. I thought they'd just missed out on him, but they actually signed him.
Because obviously Allardyce worked with him at Bolton as well, he had the sort of time there.
Hang on, no. Right, come on. Give me a chance. No. Because I explained this, because Stu mocked me as we were coming down here, right? And I explained it to him.
Trump's kicking the table over. He's so pissed off about Lewis Hart. My drink's just gone over my arm.
I want a little time to explain this. I'm chuffed. Right? I'm chuffed.
He's gritting his teeth as he's saying this.
I am, right?
Did you say choked or chuffed? Chuffed. Okay. Right. Just to make sure.
I looked at it. I first thought, I was like, what are we doing? No big big player.
Not everyone else.
You do know he's only got one leg.
No, fine.
And that's his right, and he can't kick with that.
It's better than Pavlyuchenko, who's got no legs. Right, so this is my point, right?
Well, 16 million well spent on Pavlyuchenko, by the way.
Our first team, right, is different class. I would not change anything like our top of the first team. End of. Right, apart from Krasic, which was a tasty little rumour, didn't happen.
It was just the rumour, wasn't it?
No, it was. The clubs agreed terms. He didn't want to
move on.
Anyway, so hang on. So the point is, I wouldn't change my first team, right? So we want to develop a better squad team. So Besson was shit, right? He didn't want to be there. His head was down. So we had to offload him. We got rid of him for Wolves. Ryan Nelson, all right, he's an average player, but he's got to be better than a defender that doesn't
want to
be there.
Is anyone interested in this at the moment?
I don't care.
It's not the Spurs show, Dan. You always try and turn it into the Spurs show.
I don't.
What's your point about Zaha? Why is it a good signing?
Because he's a damn sight better than Pavlyuchenko. He's a damn sight
better.
He's a waste of space.
He scores some good goals.
One a season.
Yeah, good goals.
One a season. He's awful. He's absolutely awful. We've got him. I'd much rather have Saha than I would Pavlyuchenko. He's a complete waste of space. At least he's not a big man. He's not quick. What is Pavlyuchenko? He's an absolute.
A week ago, if we'd said this, even I know Pavlyuchenko's a good player.
We should give him a chance. It's useless. Anyway. We've improved our squad.
All right, anyone else for the signers? I've got one thing. I retweeted it from the podcast account. Richard Kingston, who is the goalkeeper for Blackpool.
It's not his actual account, I don't think. It's not an official
account.
Don't
say that.
It's not an official
account.
I don't think it is.
I think it is. He hasn't got a blue tick, but on transfer deadline day, he tweeted. At least link me with someone, this is depressing. Which I just thought was brilliant.
I don't think it's him. I looked at a few previous tweets. I hope it is.
I do hope it is.
That is brilliant.
I do hope it is. Stu.
Jim.
Would you have signed anyone else if you could have done, or are you happy with what they brought in? They were looking at a few other players, weren't they, QPR? Because all eyes were on QPR, I think, on Tuesday, pretty much, because they were the ones that were thought were going to rush through the business. As I said, I think Chelsea were top spendings in the end because they've signed a lad and loaned him back.
But we spent the most on the day. I would have liked maybe another centre-back, because if we get an injury at centre-back, I think we're going to struggle.
Yeah.
And when that kid Samba Diakate, or whatever, comes back from the African Cup of Nations...
How much was that? 6 million? Or?
No, that was a free... it's a loan with a view to buy in the summer.
Okay. Apparently, have you heard about this guy?
No.
Because they were after Cherno Samba.
Yeah.
And when they signed this Sam, his first name Samba, I think Rennie was that in France?
Nancy. He's been Nancy.
He's been ripping up.
Is it Nancy?
He was at Nancy.
Oh, right.
That's quite topical as well at the moment with the old Fashion documentary, what have you. Anyone watching?
Joey Barton's comments on it as well.
Yeah.
Barton came across as a very switched on, sensible lad.
Weird that.
Some part of it is just like, is this just all a bit massive act?
Yeah.
Like, because of his past and stuff like that. But anyway, completely separate issue. They signed this guy from France, and there's a few people on Twitter and various websites saying that he's a really good player, sitting in the middle of the ball in the park.
He's basically replacing Derry, who hasn't got the best for the Premier League.
Right, we'll move on. Jerome, you've got a little bit of an update on Northwich. We mentioned Darlow last week. Northwich, all I know is that basically they've lost the ground, is what I know of it.
So similar to what was going to happen to Palace before they got brought out, etc.
Well, yeah.
But they weren't brought out.
They've been brought out now by tour specialists.
Which is a factory next to the ground, if I'm right.
Apparently so, yeah.
Yeah, and they want to extend the factory, something like that.
All right.
So they're going to knock down the ground and build a bigger factory. So the dicks haven't been saved, they've just been torn up by the people next door.
Yeah.
So they have a stadium, no, they haven't got a stadium anymore, and they lost their last game as well. So they're looking for a new stadium, and there's a couple of options about.
Old Trafford?
Man United.
Old Trafford's not on the list. Etienne Stadium is. No, I'm
joking.
Wickham Park, which is Witten Albion's ground.
So basically, they've got ground share with
some. Yeah, we've got a ground share with some.
That's the only way forward, isn't it?
So that's right next to Victoria Stadium as well. So
you'd think that'd be the.
Of nearly 500,000.
That would be amazing. We thought Old Trafford was 5, a bit stretching, but 5,000.
Fair enough.
There's also Moss Rose, which is Macclesfield Town's ground as well. They've actually agreed to host their FA Trophy game.
I bet they have.
money spinner there against Hampton and Richmond Borough. There's also the Burton Stadium, which is Winsford United's tiny ground, which only has 150 seats.
I thought you meant Burton Albion Stadium. No, for a minute, I was like,
Burton,
that is a
stadium.
Trek.
That's a bit far. Yeah.
Burton Stadium, that is.
So they're still in the league. Have they got any financial problems apart from they've just lost the ground?
Stopped, or?
I wouldn't have thought so. As long as they can play somewhere.
Yeah, but have they gone into administration, or is it just the fact
it's just the ground. It's pretty much just the ground, as far as I can make out.
The club is still running, but the ground, they haven't got nowhere to play football.
Speaking of ground, sorry, just trying to end. That's what I noticed last night. I flipped over to the African Cup of Nations. Anyone watch any of it?
I watched the cut of the game.
There's literally about four fans in each
there's
of the stadium.
No one in the stadium.
There is absolutely no one. Did you want to flick over last night? Yeah. Eurosport. Yeah. There is absolutely no one.
Quarter
finals.
I think when you get
quarterfinals now, isn't it? Conference to quarterfinals.
Not yet.
Not yet.
The group games.
Because if Mali haven't qualified, our kid's on his way home.
Mali are in.
I mean, it's unbelievable. There's no one there. I know it's in the arse end of nowhere, in the tournament this year. It was Guinea and somewhere else, like one of the other places. I mean, it's in. But just going back, when I went to the Ghana England game at Wembley, and the support for the African teams. And when I've been to, I know, rugby at Twickenham,
I don't think they came from Africa for the game.
No, I'll be honest. Appreciate it, but the support, they love their sport. And it's just really odd to see.
Have a look into it. Yeah, because I'd be interested to know if it's a ticketing thing.
Yeah.
Because they've had problems with that in the past where.
I'll have a little look.
FIFA are quite good on it, but if it's.
That's what they're saying, what was great about the World Cup in South Africa, wasn't it? They didn't price people out of tickets.
No.
But maybe that's what they've done this time.
Yeah. No, we'll have a look into it. All right, so we'll get Cox was actually following someone. He gave me the Twitter feed of someone that he was following on there. It was a local local reporter.
Yeah, he knows everything about.
Yeah, so I think Cox is going to keep finding him. So we'll.
Let's down.
I've actually
though.
Got it here.
Go on in, say him out. Give him a mention.
At Simo, that's two M's in that. Underscore on.
Say that again.
At Simo, S-I-M-M-O.
Oh, at Simo.
Yeah. Underscore on. Underscore sport, and he's a local journalist who knows Victoria inside out, apparently. So
there you go. So that's it, because it's quite close to Cox's heart because it's his local club. So we'll keep updating that, and we'll do a little Darlow update next week as well. John Terry,
yeah,
that links in. Stuart.
How lucky is he?
Okay,
was always going to happen, wasn't it?
Yeah, we came in when the news broke on Tuesday or Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday actually. We came in, and me and Jerome just like, you just knew it was going to happen. But now there's a lot of people saying that he won't. Go, or he shouldn't go. But it's, the FA have not said anything.
Well, it's our back page today, isn't it? In the Mirror.
It smacks of just exactly what you thought they might do.
Yeah,
just delay it. Hopefully, everyone will forget about it. But
no
one's going to forget about it. But I mean, what they want is so it's not top of mind. But it's ridiculous that it's going to be in July when it happens
after
so
the Euros.
Long ago.
And after the Euros. And they're saying, A, how can he be captain when he's got a court case in the background going
hanging
on
over his head? It's clearly there.
It is there. And B, how can he play when his potential centre back partner is the geezer's brother?
What is all that about?
I mean, it's,
well, God, I hope Rio won't play. It? Yeah, I hope he doesn't. But it's pretty amazing.
One of them can't go. One of them can't go because it's going to be. I mean, like I said,
I quite like both of them want to go, to be honest.
Yeah, you're right. They said, I mean, the dressing room is going to be toxic, and they're right. And how can it possibly? How can we be a united England team when our potentially two centre backs hate each other at the moment?
It's not ideal, is it?
It's not ideal. I mean, we're not going to win it anyway, but at least give us a fighting chance.
There'll be infighting, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's not a lot more to add than that. Stu, let's move on to the FA Cup game. But you met our friends.
I did, yeah. Tony One Leg and his mate the Rhino.
How are they?
Yeah, they're very well, Jim, yeah.
Rhino is a big lad, isn't he? If regular listeners will know, but it's One Leg on the Cup.
It's not one of those ironical nicknames like the Rhino. He's actually...
Tony's got one leg and Johnny's as big as a Rhino.
Right.
I had a ticket for the game. I couldn't make it for personal reasons. I was a bit disappointed because I wanted to meet Tony and we were going to get a little bit of audio as well.
Good lads, very good lads.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wait, did you go for a beer with him? Because you were meeting him so early, there was actually nowhere open.
Had a quick beer before and in the Springbok. And then after the game, we didn't meet up. They were on their way home.
Didn't you leave him talking to some guy with a scar between his ear and his...
It didn't look very nice. His scar literally...
So you left the guys that don't know much about QPR with the guy...
First thing you said to him, you're not from around here, are you? I thought, brilliant, this ain't going to go too well.
But they'll be back down. Because basically...
They've got Chelsea now. Well, they're following Chelsea now.
So these guys started
poor bastards
in the qualifying rounds. And they've been following... the blog's actually up on the website as well. So have a look on there. Follow them at One Leg on the Cup. And they've got their own website as well. So the game wasn't really up to much, was it?
It was awful, mate.
It wasn't the atmosphere and the occasion we thought it might be.
The atmosphere was there. The occasion, as in football, wasn't. What did you tell me?
I spoke to Sue on Monday, and he said, that geezer with the scar down his face. What did he say?
Oh, yeah. 90% of the people weren't there for the football, they were there for fighting. Not true. It's the 10% of idiots like you.
He was probably just talking about the players on the pitch, to be fair, not the fans. So. But they seem to enjoy it, and obviously they're back down to Chelsea in about a month's time, something like that. So
yeah, definitely, hopefully we'll meet up with them and get some audio or whatever.
And the blog from that game will be on the website next Wednesday, something like that, so that'll be going up. Right, we shall move on. Chris Coleman, Wales boss, we didn't touch on it last week.
Good luck.
It's the appointment that we were expecting. I spoke to a few Wales fans and they were hoping that someone like Tony Pulis might take it on. Pulis actually offered to take the job for one game. He said he'd do it for one game. I think it might have been the testimonial, this charity match, game. Yeah, commemorative game. But like they were aching for someone like that to come in and do it, and Coleman is not invigorated.
Where's he been?
He was in Greece.
Yes, and the financial situation in Greece, he had to leave because no one was getting paid. So
yeah. So the bankers have made Coleman become the Wales boss, basically. He's going about it the right way. He's not going to change much, but all the players, Ramsey has come out and Bale have come out and basically said... they've basically said that he shouldn't change it, so they're always telling him through the media what he can and can't do. So he's got to come in and be strong, I
think. Yeah, you're right. He's got to be strong, because that does not sound... a potential mutiny.
Yeah. Okay, realistic ambitions for the Welsh team, because before the Gary Speed's thing happened, they were absolutely flying.
World Cup.
Playoffs for the World Cup.
You think they're going to win the World Cup?
They're going to win the World Cup.
Realistic ambitions for the World Cup. Just World Cup, isn't it? So,
how about that? They're going to win it.
No, they'll make the playoffs to qualify and then get bombed out by some.
Well, the thing is with Wales, what the best thing that happens is they were winning games at the end of that qualifying campaign. And when I first saw it, my mate of mine was getting really enthusiastic about it. I was like, well, it doesn't really matter. You're not going to qualify. He went, no, don't be silly. And I was like, why? He went, because if they win those games, it puts their ranking up.
Yeah,
their ranking shot up by about 50 places.
Yeah, gets them in different groups.
Exactly. So when the qualifiers come around, so this World Cup qualifying campaign, they will start quite soon after Euros, they just need to stick in there. Even if they finish third and just outside the playoffs, if they finish third, suddenly, for the next Euro qualifiers, they're in with a chance. They'll be the third best ranked team in there rather than the fourth or fifth. Because they were in the draw with like the Minnows, like Malta and people like that.
I think if Gary Speed was still here and they were still
there, they would have had a chance in the playoffs for the World Cup.
Yeah, I think they would, like you said. But I think, like I said, now it's got to be rebuilt. I mean, it depends how it goes. You never know. Coleman come in there and do an absolute blinding job.
But Gary Speed brought a backroom staff in with him. So you need to look at it and think, right, was it things that Gary Speed was actually bringing to the job, or was it the wave of optimism after a couple of wins? Whatever's happened has probably sort of stopped in a certain sense. But the same backroom staff are there. There's no reason why it shouldn't go on insane.
And there's going to be a bit of fire in their hearts, isn't there?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, well, that game they've got coming up next month will be for him, and then they've got to take that into the next game. And also, they've got quite a few players that are now playing Premier League football, and that's crucial as well.
And they do have the world's greatest.
They've got the world's greatest, who has scored another couple of good goals as well, didn't they?
Absolutely different class.
The second goal was very good. But, alright, so... yeah,
who's that? Rob Earnshaw?
Like that. One last thing. Roman Abramovich reportedly has now spent £1 billion on the Chelsea.
He's won a couple of trophies, hasn't he?
£1 billion. Like, we're talking about Darlow and Northwich Vicks, who haven't got a ground and
the fact that you had to buy me a pint because I didn't have any cash on me.
What's that got to do with Roman?
Well, £1 billion. I mean, the amount of money that he can spend £1 billion.
Yeah, it's basically a toy to him, I suppose. And he's stuck with it, but you notice that they don't show the games anymore. No. I don't know whether that's because he stopped going, or just the things worn off that he doesn't really be bothered about.
It's like puppies, not just for Christmas, all that sort of thing. He's bored of it now.
You can see it as a good thing. Can you say, right, he's put £1 billion into the English game, but in reality, most of that's probably gone out in wages and fees and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like that. Yeah.
Or in tax.
True. Shall we talk about Harry?
Oh, I still love him.
Have you seen the letter that was on the website?
I do love that.
I'm going to read this. It's still on the website, so if you want to go on there. But last Monday or Tuesday, basically, the revelations that Harry Redknapp was cross-examining court, and he basically said, I can't read, I can't write, I can't fax, I can't send emails, I can't send texts. He basically just made himself look like a complete idiot.
I can't remember transferring $100,000 because I was worrying about David Beckham.
That's a different story.
On Wednesday morning, a friend of mine sent me this, and I just assumed that it was doing the rounds on Twitter or somewhere before this, but then I spoke to him. He actually went down to work, got some crayons out and wrote it out himself. It's Ben Knights. I won't say where he works because they probably won't want him doing this, but I'll read it out. This is reportedly to be Harry Redknapp's application for the job when he went Spurs. Dear Mr. Levy, I'm writing to you to apply for the manager's job at Tottenham Hotspurs. I think, spelt with an F, I would be good because I'm very clever and the fans will love me because I'm a proper Cockneys. If you would like me to the job, I'm not reading this properly, is how he's made it.
Yeah.
If you'd like me to the job, then please can you call Sandra, in brackets my wife, and let her know because me and Jamie will be busy playing Mario on the Wii. We spelled W-E-E as well. Sincerely, Harry. There's a couple of kisses and then there's a little picture of him and his dog.
Rosie.
Yeah,
he's brilliant.
He's got quite a bit of money. So if you haven't seen it, go on the website. It's a few posts down.
You mentioned a couple of spelling mistakes. I don't think there's one word in there spelled correctly.
No.
I you spelled it.
I.
Oh, and the address is Harry, No. 1 Big House, Sandbags, Dorset. And there was also the little ditty, the Only Fools and Horses ditty as well, which everyone thought was just doing around on Twitter as well. But what do you make of it then? As a Spurs
The biggest
fan,
positive I'm going to take out of it is that I'm damn sure the FA cannot possibly appoint him as England manager now.
No, but like Jim said, they can ban him from football.
Right, well, I mean, I'll say the positives. I'm taking the positives, Jim. I'm ignoring the negative side. The positive spin is that there's no way they can make him England manager after this, which is bloody brilliant.
They will, though. They will make him England manager.
If John Terry can be captain, he can be England
exactly.
manager.
Exactly.
No, but he hasn't been found guilty yet.
He's about to be.
But, no, or John Terry, yeah. But then, yeah. So the positive I'm taking from that is that hopefully we won't lose him.
We might lose him. Criminals.
Right, stop. In the power of Simon Head, we're moving on. We'll leave that. This thing's going to rumble on, so we'll move on for now. Leeds United sacks Simon Grayson.
Warnock favourite, I bet.
Warnock and Ken Bates would be absolutely amazing.
Oh dear.
No, Ken Bates has wanted him for years as well.
Really?
At Chelsea, he wanted him at Chelsea like years ago.
Rumour has it, yeah.
He did want him at Chelsea.
But he would have gone from like Plymouth Argyle to Chelsea.
No, he was at Notts County, he just got Notts County promoted.
Before he went to Sheffield.
Yeah. And he wants him again.
It could be very interesting. Even the writing was on the wall and they lost quite heavily in the way. Zigic. 8'4", whatever he is, scored 4 goals.
Yeah, joking.
He scored 4 goals at Elland Road, yeah. Absolute superstar. None of them were pens, you either. Usually you look at that, a couple of pens.
Yeah.
No pens. Couple of more serious issues.
Yeah, no.
The Egypt thing, this is probably one of the first podcasts to come out since it happened. I was with a load of mates last night and we were sort of reading it on Twitter and what have you, but have you seen some of the footages of England's class? Yeah. It's absolutely crazy. I'm quite surprised that none of the players. I know the players are injured, but I'm surprised that none of them were amongst the death toll when you look at the footage.
Do you know, and just before we came out here, it was about 12:45, I think, on Sky News, it was breaking news, did you see it?
Didn't know.
The Egypt Premier, he's dissolved the Egyptian Soccer Federation board. He's dissolved the entire board.
The Parliament, because the Parliament's brand new as well, so I know the Parliament.
Yeah, but the entire Egyptian Soccer Federation board has been dissolved as a result of this, and it's an absolute crisis. Obviously, all games, everything has been pulled off.
There was another game, when the fans at another ground heard about what was happening, they set fire to one of the stands
It was because what happened at that, I was reading it earlier, because what happened at that ground, the game got called off. So in protest to the other game getting called off because of the riots, they then started setting fire to the ground. I mean, that's a great way. How do we retaliate to our game being called off after riots? I don't know, set fire to this one.
Well, they must have been like 3-0 up or something. But it's the footage is just bizarre. It's the referee blows the whistle, they're running off, and then some of the dead, a few of the dead are like stewards and police officers as well.
I can't really think of anything that's ever happened like this before.
It's always said, but no one should go to a football game and not come back. It's a leisure pursuit. It's just
there was witnesses. They were actually saying that there was even though there's been loads of trouble recently.
Yeah.
And with riots and political riots in general and football riots, they actually reduced the police levels at this game. Even though it's the biggest, fiercest derby in Egypt.
Yeah.
And they've actually reduced police levels.
That's what sparked it, because the home team lost, didn't they?
No. I thought they won. I thought they won 3-1.
Well, it was the one team lost.
Apparently, there was witnesses seeing a lot of the fans going in with knives.
And they
actually reduced security for like the most high-profile, volatile game. So, very sad.
While we're on this sort of subject as well, Dean Windass. I don't think I mentioned it last week, but there was an article in a few of the papers about him basically sort of being depressed and stuff like that. So he's now at the Sporting Chance Clinic, and Dean Windass was a fantastic footballer.
What a unit.
One of those guys, a big guy, not necessarily in the best physical shape, but he could ping a ball out
and he could put himself
and
about
some goals. So he's at the Sporting Chance Clinic, so best of luck to him as well in getting rid of his demons. Right, open it out, guys. Anything else?
No, but we did have down here David De Gea dropped, and now Lindegaard's out.
Well, Ben Amos. I only put that in there because I thought Coxon might be, and we could take
it. It is comical though. They are struggling a bit, aren't they? I love the fact that he was ill, wasn't he, for the game on Tuesday night.
Dodgy donut, Aaron.
Yeah. Enough to do with the fact that he's looked at the fixture list and gone, who are we playing next?
Yeah, exactly.
Stoke?
Yeah.
No. Sorry, Gov, I've got a bit of a dodgy stomach.
They would have elbows.
And they've absolutely peppered him. But he did all right, the young keeper, didn't he?
He did. One last thing on the midweek games as well. We've got to make mention to the fat lad that came on and handcuffed himself to the goalpost.
you know, in protest to Ryanair.
Is that what it was?
He's a professional protester.
Jimmy Jump, isn't it? Was it him?
Not sure. He's a professional protester.
We got a retweet from Bet365.
We had a conversation with Bet365. We asked them if the half time, because it happened just before half time, we basically said, is the half time special of Ray Winston? You know when he comes up and he's like,
I'm ready for the next dinner.
8-2.
He's our live in play odds, 8-2 for Gino Dobb to break his face.
I asked them whether it would be the next fat man to jump on the pitch in handcuff. Unfortunately, it wasn't. It was Silver, a first goal.
Yeah, I love the fact that I think we'll stick to Silver. Next goal, 5-1.
Plug in.
Yeah.
They even put a hashtag in there, but no, we like the Bet365 guys.
Yeah, in play with Ray, that was
it. In play with Ray, that's it. No, they're good lads, and they've noticed our tweets before as well, so we'll keep doing that. Mostly because me and Sean Miller were loving it when we put money on Alex Terror, and he kept coming in, so we've just been rinsing Bet365. Chris Kamara.
Yeah, he'd had a game, didn't he?
He's had
a kick around, didn't he? Yeah.
No,
Chris Kamara played for Welsh Paul Town. Basically, the background of the story is this. They were losing about 11-0 or something a couple of weeks ago, and Jeff Stelling basically made a joke about it. The Welsh Paul manager wrote to Jeff Stelling or emailed him and said, don't think you should be doing this. We're trying hard to get a team out. People keep letting us down. We've all got other careers. Like, it's not fun to mock us. So then there were debates started, and they basically said, right, we'll send one person down.
So Chris Kamara hasn't got a career, so...
Yeah, but this is the best thing. Everyone in Welsh Paul knew that Sky Sports News were sending a player down. So they're like, oh, Paul Merson, he could still have it. Yeah. Matt Letizier in midfield. Chris Kamara turned up.
Apparently, he did all right.
Well, they lost 6-1.
4 better than the last game.
This is true. But they went 1-0 up, and he set the goal up, apparently.
That's quality.
Yeah. So
he set himself off after that.
I don't know how much he played, but he was in the paper, because he writes for, I think it's The Sun or something he writes for, and he was in the paper on Monday saying that he didn't actually feel too bad the next day. But yeah, he played centre mid or centre defence.
That just was wonderful.
But I thought it was fantastic. And while we're on the subject of that, I've got one other bit for you. Do you remember Steve Claridge?
Oh, yes. Oh, well, when he went to
Gosport. There you go. Gosport Town. It came on and scored the winner for him again. A beat Thatcham Town 1-0 about a week ago.
He must have a few goals by now.
He's doing alright.
How old is he? 47?
I was 86. I was looking at the Kamara story and I thought, I wonder what Claridge is doing. I went on the Gosport website.
There it is.
Claridge off the bench to earn the points. Was the headline on there? I thought, right, I'll have to mention that.
Good up, Stevie Claridge.
Absolute jeez. Right, we move on. Just quickly, Stu. Our friends at Football Fans Down Under at FFDU, where they've got a new show as well, which will be going live probably about the same time as ours, so look out for that.
Great news.
24-hour party. I gave it to you. Do you know much about it yet?
It hasn't really made much sense to me, Jim.
Give me the date.
5th of May 2012, there's going to be a 24-hour football party where, haven't got a clue.
We're celebrating
why,
football.
Still haven't got a clue.
We're going to get involved, without a doubt.
I'm supposed to be celebrating my mum's birthday, but this is much more important.
Exactly, yeah. Sorry, mum. Just push your football in her face and go walk out the door.
Get involved or off.
Over this 24-hour day, we want as many photographs, YouTube clips, Facebook likes, and all under the hashtag 24-hour football party on Twitter.
Oh, so it's basically just down to you, us independently, to do what we want. And then send it all in.
Mate, I'm putting this out there as a bit of a sort of crazy thesis.
FA Cup final day.
We should go to the pub, talk about football and record it.
No, it's a great idea.
How about that? Heard about that somewhere.
It's a great idea.
Hashtag that bullshit. Come on.
Exactly.
Chesterfields are at Wembley. Johnson's Paint Trophy. Got to mention that. Fair play to them.
Well done.
They beat Oldham 1-0 this week and 2-1 in the first leg, so they've won 3-1 overall. They'll play Swindon or Barnet in the final as well, so you can follow them at Johnson's Paint as well. But I love it. It's a good competition for a team like Swindon as well. They're flying in the league, they've got all this good sort of positive vibes about where they are in the league and Decanet and stuff like that. They could be at Wembley. I don't know, I'd much rather Barnet got there, but Chesterfield first team in the hat for Wembley. So there you go. Stuart's just left. You might have seen that he signed for Barcelona on transfer deadline.
That was absolutely brilliant.
It's very true. But Stuart doesn't get out of his chair for much. He goes to the vending machine. If someone was waving some Harry Bow.
Yeah, he comes down here for once a week.
Once a week. Yeah. That's his exercise.
And it can only be down here for a few minutes.
I love the fact the door is just shut and we're mugging him off. Really. It's just standard what we do. Yeah, he doesn't get very far.
No, but, he gets lonely when he's not in his chair for more than 45 minutes, so he's had to bugger up early.
Yeah. Alright, as with last week, we're chatting away again. We'll rush through this. Burning question. Premier League comebacks recently. If you could bring one person back to football, who would you be? I'll tell you mine.
For our team or for just in football?
Whoever you want. Mine would be Ray Wilkins back to QPR or Chelsea or anywhere, just so he's not a pundit anymore. It's as simple as that. But to be fair, Chris Coleman is almost as bad. Chris Coleman was doing the commentary the other day for the Man City game.
Da Silva.
What are you talking about?
He just would not stop saying. You thought at one point, was it Martin Tyler with him?
Yeah, but he's like,
you'd have thought Martin Tyler would just give him a little nudge and gone,
Shut up. Just turn his mic off.
It's silver, not Da Silva, you wanker. You'd have thought he'd have given a heads up, but he kept saying it.
You just turn his mic off, wouldn't you? It was like, you know, when you're playing like FIFA, there's certain players where when they get the ball, they say it a little bit different. Like, it used to be like Messi. Whenever you got the ball with Messi, even if it was on his own six shot, Messi! And then the commentary would go normal again. It was like that every time he got it. You were like, what are you playing at?
Brilliant.
But so that's mine, straight there.
There's a number in there.
Is this going to be the Spurs show?
No, it's not. I've nothing to do with Spurs, actually, apart from Klinsmann.
Nothing to do with Spurs, apart from Spurs icon.
Apart from Klinsmann, yeah. Gazza. Just to give him something to do.
It's true.
Bless him. Just give him. I think he'd be a lot better if he started.
We're talking about Winness, earlier. There's certain mirrors between Winness and Gazza as well. Same sort of player. And same sort of situation where stop playing football and what do I do?
You say bring De Canio back, but he's there pretty much there. He entertains us every week anyway.
How much? I was in the match with De Canio the other day. How much must he just fancy putting on a kit for Swindon?
Oh, definitely.
I would not rule it out for him to make a comeback.
I reckon he can hack it as well.
League Two, he probably could. To be honest,
he probably could. He looks like he's fit enough.
Yeah, he would get very physical for him, but I think he's probably got that in him anyway. So, alright, so who's your actual one? One player?
Gazza, give him something to do.
Alright, fair enough. Jay?
On a personal note for Villa, Dwight York.
Oh, he was a good player.
He was a good player.
Better than
to get him off the TV so he doesn't wear them ugly suits.
He wears some badass suits. Not badass, just bad suits.
Really bad suits.
That's Dwight York for me.
Right, you know what we want now. A little bit of heart into the show.
You know what? I've got a good bit of news.
Melbourne Heart update. Have they played a game, first of all?
They have. Unfortunately, they lost 3-1. They've played, the last three games, they've played what are now, I think, the teams that are sitting first, second and third. And unfortunately, they only got 1 point out of the possible nine. However,
they are gutted by that defeat to East Coast Mariners, where they completely bossed the game and then lost
it.
It's really defective.
Next game this Saturday to watch out for, the Melbourne Derby.
Oh, is it
massive.
Really?
Yeah, Melbourne Derby, which will be. It'll be
9 Saturday morning. Yeah. Saturday no, morning. Early, 8 o'clock in the morning, something like that.
Yeah, because it's 7:45 kickoff Saturday night in Oz.
About 9
so
hours.
So it'll be. Yeah, so it'll be. Early morning, well, mid-morning over here.
I think
I'm going to have a little look for. I got to play footy on Saturday.
Definitely. Good luck to the Wolves.
They've got the next three games are all winnable. They've basically played the last three games have been the teams above. Next three games, all teams below them. So really good chance for a push. A couple of big bits of news though, as Hart are concerned.
Yep.
The head coach is stepping down at the end of the season. John Van Schipt. Schipt is done.
Sorry, the nice lady's just coming to speak to us. You said Spit. Right,
A few days ago, a week ago, he's announced that he's actually leaving Melbourne Heart at the end of the season.
Do we know any background to that? Is that a shock or...?
No, it's a massive shock. Obviously, last season was a bit difficult because Hart finished in eighth place, but what he's done this year, it's been fantastic. And he just made the announcement out of the blue, basically citing professional and personal reasons for his decision to step down. He said, it wasn't an easy decision for me, but I don't see my future in Australia anymore. My background is in Europe, the Dutchman said. I'll stay at the end of the season and finish a job I was hired to do. Where I'll end up, I just don't know yet. He's right. Honestly, I mean, it's I mean, it's a real shame.
We'll ask the guys the football fans down under, see if they can get any
bit inside info, because it seemed like a real shock.
It'd be interesting to know who might be in the frame for the job as well. So that won't be a bad gig. They're an up and coming club at the moment.
No, exactly. Especially these next three games could be massive for them. Yeah. By the way, when they did lose 3-1 against Wellington Phoenix the other week, Alex Terror did score that one.
Yes, I should have. Don't say that. Bet365 would be happy. I'm putting money on now.
And the other bit of news for Hart, and again, probably negative news, unfortunately, is that the stand-in captain, Matt Thompson, is out for another month.
Ooh.
Thought that he was going to be all right for this Saturday's game, because he limped off...
you need your best players for the derby, didn't you? Well, exactly. The big one.
He's limped off after the 3-1 loss, sorry, midway through the 3-1 loss. They thought it was just a bit of a knock, he'd be all right for Saturday, but unfortunately he's strained a ligament in his knee that's going to keep him out of action until March the 2nd. For the Brisbane game at the Suncorp.
Big game against Brisbane. Good luck to the Heart. Genuinely good luck to the Heart. I'll be looking out for that. Right, that's about it. I've got a player spotted, but I'll leave that to the end. Follow us, Twitter, at Football Pubcast. We're on Facebook, and that is going to be revamped this week.
I've just been given administration by Simon Head. I got excited about it last night.
Facebook.com/TheFootballPubcast. So we're going to start putting the new shows live on there now as well, and any blogs we've got, any photos. There's some dynamite photos of Stuart Hoare on there, and we'll put some more up.
Yeah.
You can email us, banter@footballpubcast. And obviously, we've talked a lot about the blogs that are up. There's some fantastic stuff on there. www.footballpubcast.co.uk.
Just like to say, you did poo-poo me with the Canio, and I got it up.
Yes, right in time, you did well, right, and fantastic it is too. Great blog on there about Canio. Just scroll down, I think it's about 3 or 4 down. www.footballpodcast.co.uk. I will leave
our personal email address, the personal Twitter accounts,
at Jim Staples,
at the boy Silver,
at Jerome Munden,
and at Stu Hoare, who was here earlier and he left.
He doesn't tweet enough. I tweet him, I berate him, I poke him.
It means moving the mouse, his fingers, right. Typing the words.
I know, it's a lot of it's hard work.
Don't be silly,
I know.
It's hard for him.
It's hard for him.
That's what his girlfriend said.
Three.
Just before we go, at Players Spotted this week, Emu Heskey in a field near Birmingham, tugging wildly at the starter cord on a malfunctioning jetpack.
We'll leave you with that.
Just leave you with that. There's no more needs to be said. Absolutely. Cheers, guys. Okay. We'll speak to you next week.
Cheers. See ya.